following message is by Pastor Mike Hammonds of Angleton First Assembly of God, located in Angleton, Texas. May the Lord bless you and speak to your heart as you listen.
Continue to pray for our nation. Continue to pray for our leaders and ask God to touch the heart of people. Teresa said it earlier, we need a revival in America. And God can use whoever's in the Oval Office to bring a revival to America. Now, I've got my preference, and I think you know what it is. But we still need a revival in America, and that's God's business, and God can do that. So let me just tell you where the message this morning came from. Teresa and I, this past week, went to a two-day district event in San Antonio. And there was a speaker there, and he was very good, and we took notes and enjoyed ourselves and sang and worshiped and prayed and just enjoyed friends. And so for a couple of days, we were unplugged. You didn't know it, though. So we were gone and came back. Still did the Wednesday night lesson, even though I wasn't here. See, technology is amazing. It's almost like you can be omnipresent, right? Okay, not quite that. And so we're there at this event, and there came a time where there was some Q&A. And one of the pastors, there's only about, I don't know, 120 folks there at this event, and one of the pastors asked this question here, and I don't remember the exact verbiage, but it was along the lines, how can we as pastors maintain in this political climate some harmony and peace? And I read into that question a little bit that maybe they've got some issues going on. I don't know. And I've got my answer. My answer is like, I don't think you can. The speaker gave this analogy here for an answer, a football analogy. He said on the football field, there's three teams. We'll go with the blue team and the red team. And then there's that third team. They're called the referees. And the referees aren't on either team. They're throwing flags on both teams. You can't do that, throw the flag. And you can't do that, and we throw the flag. And so, basically, he was letting us know that neutrality is good. So, if that's the right answer, I've probably failed you in the area of neutrality. The two teams have no commonality at all. And while I try, as time goes on, it gets harder and harder to be the neutral referee because I find myself throwing a lot more flags on one team than the other. Both teams don't play the perfect game, but one seems to get a lot more flags from my position. And so there was a day when the teams were a lot more closer together, and it was a lot easier to do as far as neutrality, but that day is gone. That day doesn't exist. And even if you try, it's just hard to stay there because when you preach on things that are in the Bible and then you preach about what God says, people out there who have a little bit of sense and knowledge as to what's going on in the political arena can put two together and figure it out, right? So trying to keep peace between the two, in my opinion, is an impossible task unless you simply ignore the issues, which I recommend that you do for Thanksgiving dinner and your Christmas get-together and whatever other family time that you have. It might be good to ignore the issues, but when it comes to just, you know, everyday and day-to-day living, it's hard to ignore the issues. And so as he's giving this answer, a verse went through my mind. And that's where we're going to go this morning. Amos chapter 3, verse 3. And it says, can two walk together unless they are agreed? Father God, we thank you for your word. May it navigate everything that we do. And may your spirit throw the penalty flags on every one of us when we get out of bounds, that we can walk and be led of your spirit and serve you in a way that is good for those around us and good for our own journey. Help me this morning to preach what you've put in my heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Title of the message is The Truth About Truth. We've been talking about truth the last couple of weeks, and so I want to give you a few statements about truth in just a little bit. But first, I want to give you a statement to go with this statement right here, Amos 3:3. Can two walk together unless they are agreed? The strength of your agreement determines the length of your journey. Now think that through a little bit. The more you agree, the further you can go together. If you agree a whole lot, you might get married and go really far together. So the strength of our agreement determines the length of our journey. Now this went through my mind, well, but wait a minute, love. The strength of our love determines the length of our journey. Love is important. God said about himself, I mean, God is love. The two great commandments, love God, love your neighbor. Love the world, love your enemy. You can't get away from love. But you can love somebody and not journey together. Sometimes we have to do that for seasons. Our journey stopped. It came to an end, but it doesn't mean I don't love them. And it doesn't mean they don't love me. It's just that, you know, we're in a season that maybe we're better apart than we are together. So love is important, but it's the strength of your agreement, your unity, your togetherness that determines the length of your journey. How far you can walk together, because that's what it says. Can two walk together? 1 John 5:7 says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, then we have fellowship together. If I walk in the light and you walk in the light, then we have an agreement and we are agreed together and we can journey together. To walk in the light is to walk in love and truth. To walk in the light is not just to walk in truth, and it's not just to walk in love. It's to walk in love and truth together. You can't separate love and truth without doing damage to the integrity of God's word. They go together. As children of God, we are instructed in Ephesians to walk in truth. John 16:13 tells us that the Spirit of truth has come to help us and guide us to walk in truth. Ephesians 5 tells us to walk in love. So Ephesians tells us to walk in truth. Ephesians tells us to walk in love. 2 John verses 4 through 6 mentions both. Walk in truth and walk in love. So which one is it? It's not either or, it's both and. It's walk in the light as he is in the light. And to walk in the light is to walk in love and to walk in truth. See, love wins. We hear it. Love does win. But love doesn't win without truth. They win together. Truth doesn't win without love. Love doesn't win without truth. 1 Corinthians 13:6 says this about love. Love rejoices with the truth. Love celebrates the truth. You can't push truth over here and just go love, love, love only. Real love, authentic love, the God kind of love, includes truth. It's a package deal. Love celebrates the truth. Actually, the verse is a little longer than that. It says, love does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rather rejoices with the truth. So not only does love celebrate truth, love does not celebrate unrighteousness. Now, in the Bible, you're going to find that Jesus gives, there's a number of reasons given why Jesus came to earth to give his life a ransom for many, to destroy the works of the devil, to seek and save the lost. And then in John 18:37, Jesus says this, for this reason I came to the world to testify to the truth. We also, as followers of Jesus, should testify to the truth. And that's more than talking it, that's walking it, that's living it. We should talk truth, we should live truth, we should model truth. Jesus came for that reason. Listen, we have a lot of battles in America. The abortion battle's been going on for years. Sexual battles, homosexuality and same-sex marriage been going on for years. Transgender, we've got a new battle on the front there, and now that's going on. Pedophilia has been introduced. We've got all these battles in America, but can I just tell you, the biggest battle in America, and it's been going on for years, is the assault on truth. It's the battle against truth. Proverbs 23:23 says, buy the truth and do not sell it. In other words, Do whatever you can to get truth, and whatever you do, don't let it go. Our nation, as we talked about the last 2 weeks, was founded on truth. But over the years, we have sold a little bit of truth, a little bit at a time. And we have distanced ourselves from where we began. Buy the truth and do not sell it. John 17, 17, Jesus is praying, and he prays about followers of him to sanctify them by your truth. And then he says this to his Father, your word is truth. God's word is truth. And the further you move away from God's word, the closer you get to confusion and conflict and corruption. Over here at God's word, at truth, there's conviction of truth. But when you get away from truth, it's your opinions and your good ideas. And some of your opinions are good and some of them are right. But the further we get away from God's word, the more absurd it becomes. So buy the truth, do not sell it. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. God's word is truth. Now, I'm going to give you five statements concerning truth. The truth about truth. And as I was looking at it, I thought, that's just too much. So I decided to remove two of them and make it three. And then I decided, nah, can't do that. So I put the two back, and I just removed all the content. We're just going to go through the two really quickly, and then we're going to talk about three in a little more detail, all right? The truth about truth. Statement number one is this. Intellect is not the primary avenue to knowing truth. Again, we're going to breeze through this one. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 7 talks about a group of people who are ever learning, getting smarter and smarter, and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. How can you keep learning and never get to truth? Because intellect is not the primary avenue to knowing truth. And for, I'm going to give you the point, a verse, and then a little subpoint. So here's the subpoint for this one. Who you know trumps what you know. See, it's who you know that gives you truth. It's not what you know. There's a lot of people out there that don't know truth that know a whole lot more than you do. And me. Number two. Truth doesn't change, only the view of truth. And listen, if you were thinking, man, I'd like to talk about that one a little bit more. I feel like I have a lot in the last couple of months, so we're moving on. Truth doesn't change, only the view of truth. The verse for this one is Hebrews 13, 8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, you know the rest, today, and forever, right? So Jesus doesn't change. And since Jesus is the truth, because he said, I am the way, the life, and the truth, and Jesus doesn't change, Jesus is the truth, truth doesn't change. Your perspective, your view of truth may change, but truth is the same yesterday and today and forever. That's why that chair doesn't move. So here's your subpoint for this one. The passing of time doesn't affect truth. The passing of time affects a lot of things, including your body and your mind and everything else, right? But it doesn't affect truth. Statement number three. It is better to be divided by truth than united in error. In these next three statements, the reason we want to spend a little more time on there, and see, at the conclusion, we're going to receive communion together. And we're going to pray specifically about something I'll tell you in a little while. But I want to encourage those, especially, that find themselves in opposition to maybe somebody that's important to you. Somebody you care about and somebody you love. I hope to encourage you. I want you to know that it's better to be divided by truth than united in error. And remember, the whole foundation of this is Amos 3:3. Walking together in agreement. The strength of our agreement determines the length of our journey. Unity is important, right? Jesus prayed for unity for his disciples before he left. He said, Father, I pray they may be one, even as we are one. That's pretty tight. In Ephesians, it says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. In Psalm 133, it says, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Unity is important. Truth is important. Love is important. So how do they work together? Well, truth and love work together very well. We want to separate them, but they don't separate. Unity is important, but truth cannot be sacrificed on the altar of unity. Because think about it, Psalm 133, how good and pleasant it is for who? Brethren to dwell together in unity. Jesus prayed for who? His followers to be unified. Unity in the house, unity in the body of Christ is very doable, very possible, and required. It's a must. We must have unity in the body of Christ. But to think that we're going to be unified with the world who doesn't know Christ is foolishness. That's not what was prayed for. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit. You're not going to have unity out there. That's why some of you feel like a fifth wheel. Truth cannot be sacrificed on the altar of unity. Get this, in 2 Corinthians 6, 14 through 16, I'm going to kind of paraphrase it. It says, don't be unequally yoked with those who are unbelievers. Now, youth pastors pull this one out for dating, and I think that's a good place to use it, but it's marriage too, it's business partners, it's other things, it's more than dating. Don't be unequally yoked. In other words, a believer and an unbeliever, there's not going to be, you're like oil and water. In fact, it goes on and says something about oil and water. And it asks a couple of questions. How can goodness be a partner with wickedness? How can light live with darkness? What harmony can there be between Christ and, get this, the devil? How can a believer be a partner with an unbeliever? What union can there be between God's temple and idols? I mean, these three verses are just making it very clear that it's not doable. Unity between the believer and the unbeliever is just not doable. It doesn't mean you can't get along. It doesn't mean you can't have lunch and enjoy and laugh and have friends. It just means when it comes to walking in the light as He is in the light, they can't go there with you. There is no common ground between the two political parties today. There just isn't. I know of a couple. One's very strong Republican, and one's very strong Democrat. They're older, so maybe when they got married, there was more in common. I don't know. But I'm just telling you, you can be unequally yoked spiritually. You can be unequally yoked in other areas. I won't go down the list. But if there's not some agreement when it comes to, I'm not talking about it. We must both like baked potatoes because I'm not making French fries. I'm not talking about agreement on food choices, clothing. I'm talking about agreement in the area of values, beliefs, what we deem to be important. Well, I believe Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. I don't even believe He exists. Well, let's get married. You're going to have a problem. A little prophecy there. I prophesy problems. Listen, Joe Biden, and you know what, Joe Biden? Pray for Joe Biden. That man's been through pain. He's lost family members early in life, and he's been through some heartache and some hurt. And really, right now, he ought to be off in the sunlight, riding off into the sunset, playing with his grandkids or something. But basically, he's a pawn. And in his speech, and I've heard Republicans make the same speech, I'm not running to be president of the blue states, and I'm not running to be president of the red states. I'm running to be president of the United States. Key applause. It's a great line, but today there is no United States. There's no unity in America. We are the divided states of America. That is just clear. Unity within the body, yes. Outside the body, no. Can two walk together unless they be agreed? I want to say something. I meant to say it earlier. I even had a note there and went right past the note. So this is just a little interruption, a little caveat here. Love and truth. I've been talking about love and truth a little bit earlier. This is when I was supposed to say this. Last week, we were talking about some of the issues, kind of went through them rather quickly. Except for the issue of abortion, we spent 7 or 8 minutes on that issue. And why I believe it is the most severe crime and sin against God that we have. What I failed to do last week, and it grieves me when I forget to do this. What I failed to do is to come back and say for anybody, and I'm talking to those in the camera land as well, for anybody that has been through an abortion, that has participated in abortion, that has helped fund an abortion, I want you to know that we love you. And we believe in mercy and grace, repentance and forgiveness and do-overs. We believe in all of that. We're not trying to heap condemnation and guilt on anybody, but at the same time, we want to still stand for truth. But I don't want to get heavy on truth and forget a little my love statement, all right? And what I'm saying is we want to help people get to wherever they need to get to and get away from wherever they've been. Listen, we're against getting strung out on heroin too. That doesn't mean we don't love you. If you've been there or are there, it doesn't mean we won't help you and plug you into a program to get you some help. So yes, we stand against some things, but we're not against people. So please hear my heart on this, and I really do apologize for that. I wish I had said that last week because it's very possible that somebody's watching and went, I'm done with that guy. And they ain't hearing the apology this week because they're done with that guy. Church, we support Pregnancy Help Center. We're about to support Refuge for Women. Well, actually, we are already supporting Refuge for Women. We're doing what we can to be supportive and to help. The Assemblies of God have just started a new ministry called Orphan Care. Dealing with adoption. We don't want to just say that's wrong without offering solutions. But at the same time, we can't say that's okay if God's word says it's not okay. All right. Caveat over. Here we go. Matthew chapter 10, verse 34 through 36. Talking about unity. Let me just tell you, not only is unity not possible outside the body of Christ, division is certain. Not maybe, division is certain. Matthew 10, 34 through 36. This is Jesus talking. Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace. Man, we could just stop right there because Christmas season is going to roll around and we're talking about peace, peace, peace. Listen, peace is available for everybody that receives Jesus. He's the Prince of Peace. But praying for peace throughout the world without heart changes ain't going to happen. That's why we need a revival, because God changes hearts. Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come, now this is Jesus talking, these are hard words. I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household. Church, we've heard preachers up here from other nations. Paul I comes to mind. When he shared what Jesus did for him and how he received Jesus, how the family immediately disowned him. That's that scripture being fulfilled. Jesus said, I came to bring a sword and a man will turn against his son. It happened in Paul I's life. It's happened in many people's lives. Just not common here in America. It may get more common. And actually is becoming more common. You may not be disowned by family, but here's the subpoint for this one. There will be friction because of your faith. There will be some friction. Let me read those same three verses out of the Message translation. Don't think I've come to make life cozy. I've come to cut. Make a sharp knife cut between son and father, daughter and mother, bride and mother-in-law. Cut through these cozy domestic arrangements and free you for God. Well-meaning family members can be your worst enemies. You may not get disowned because of your faith, but there will be some friction in your life because of your faith. And you can say, well, there ain't none in mine. Hang on, your life ain't done. Jesus can be a cause of division Genuine unity requires an agreement in the area of values and beliefs. Next, I think this is number 4 out of 5. Next statement. A stand for truth will not always win the applause of men. Man, I've experienced that. I remember after I'd gotten saved and went to work, I really expected people to go, thank you. Because I thought I was letting them in on this long-lost secret. This thing about Jesus. I didn't realize that people already done church and were fed up with it and all that. I did shortly. We're not in a popularity contest. We can't please everybody. And not everybody's going to say thank you when you tell them the truth. Truth might make you glad. Truth might make you sad. And truth might make you mad. That's what truth does. Galatians 4, verse 16, Paul says this, have I now become your enemy because I told you the truth? Now, Paul didn't change his mind. He didn't back up. He just said, so you're mad at me now? What? Is that it? You mad? Why are you mad? Because I told you the truth? And then he probably repeated it. Truth will bring division. Truth can be offensive. Truth will offend. But be careful here, because truth is the message. You are the messenger. You, the messenger, should not offend, but the message you carry can sometimes offend. Be careful how you use the sword of truth. The Bible, the sword of the Spirit. Be careful how you use it. Don't be like Peter and step out in front of Jesus and cut people's ears off. He was going for the head. You're not called to go out there and wound people and hurt people and make them feel worse than they already do. You have a message of hope. So use your sword carefully and wisely and help people. But at the same time, you can't back up on the message. Just make sure love is there. That's what Ephesians 4:15 says. Speak the truth in love. The way you say things matters. So let me give you the sub-statement for this one. Live for the applause of one. How many of y'all like that show, Everybody Loves Raymond? How many of y'all like it enough that you watch reruns that you've already seen 3 times? Yeah, put your hand down. Don't be telling yourself like that. Everybody Loves Raymond. For those of you who have never heard of the show Everybody Loves Raymond, Raymond is a guy, the main character. He has to be liked. If somebody doesn't like him, he goes into depression. He has a mood. He may go into a depression for several days. He sulks. Why? Well, so-and-so don't like me. That's what the whole show's about. Everybody loves Raymond, but when he runs into somebody that doesn't, he has a problem. Church, you can't be a Raymond. Not everybody's going to like you if you're carrying the message of truth and you're walking in the light and you're letting your light shine and you're speaking the truth in as much love as you can muster up, you're still going to be disliked by some. John 15, verse 18, Jesus says this, if the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. We're not called to be loved by everybody, but to proclaim truth. Now, careful, I didn't say we're not called to love everybody. I said we're not called to be loved by everybody. We are called to love everybody, but we're not called to be loved back by everybody. So what happens when they don't love me back? Turn the other cheek. Well, wait a minute. Yeah, that's what Christianity is, right? Let's go to the last one, the 5th and final statement. It's better to stand alone with truth than to be wrong with a crowd. Church, the majority is frequently wrong. In Noah's day, the majority was wrong. In Daniel's day, the majority was wrong. In Jesus' day, the majority was wrong. And could it be that in our day, the majority is becoming more and more wrong as time goes on? It's better to stand alone by yourself with truth than to be wrong with a crowd or to be wrong with your best friend. Your allegiance is not to people. Your allegiance is to God and truth. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 8 is the verse for this one. Paul says this, our responsibility is never to oppose the truth, but to stand for the truth at all times. Wow, that's our responsibility. It's our responsibility to stand for what? The truth, and to never oppose the truth. You know, a lot of religion is just get-alongism. I'm all for getting along. As long as we're in the light, let's get along. We have to walk in the light, though, as He is in the light. And what is walking in the light? It's walking in love and walking in truth. And maybe some of us need to improve on that. Maybe some of us are walking in love really good, but not walking in truth too well. And maybe vice versa. Some of us are walking really strong in the truth and just offending people left and right. Walk in the love and walk in the truth. And then we walk in the light. The time comes when you have to stand alone. So let me give you your sub-point for this one. You may be unfriended because of truth. That could happen. And if you're Raymond, you can't stand to be unfriended. If you're Raymond, you need as many friends and followers as you can get. You'll lose sleep if somebody deletes you as a friend. But we're not Raymond. We're followers of Jesus. And there could be a time that you might get unfriended. Whenever I gave my life to the Lord, I got unfriended by most. And it wasn't that they hated me. It's just that they realized, wow, let's just do our own thing. Don't invite him this week. When you stand alone for the purpose of truth, here's some good news. You're not alone. Jesus stands with you. I wish I'd have put this one on the screen. You might want to write this down. Especially if this is hitting home for you. Write this down. Look at it later. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16 and 17. Paul says this, the first time I was brought before the judge, no one was with me. Everyone had abandoned me, but the Lord stood with me and gave me strength. I want to read that again. The first time I was brought before the judge, no one was with me. Everyone had abandoned me, but the Lord stood with me and gave me strength. And then it says this, that I might preach the good news. I'm going to keep doing what I was doing, preaching the good news. I'm not going to back up. Everybody's left me, but the Lord's with me. We're going to do it just me and Him. You know, we're going to have to take that kind of an attitude. We're going to have that kind of a backbone, the Spirit of God in us, just bold, right? Not offensive, but strong. Ephesians 6:13 says, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. That's what we want to do. We want to stand. If you got to stand alone, stand anyway. Knowing that you're not really alone, but that Jesus stands with you. Put on the whole armor of God. I won't break this down, but you know there's six pieces of armor that are mentioned. Remember the truth belt? And the soldiers, and the Roman soldier in his garb, his uniform, the belt held things in place. You don't want to lose the belt. Sword be flying over here. The belt held things in place. When you lose the belt, everything else begins to fall apart. The belt is truth. And that's why the biggest battle in America right now is the assault on truth. Because when you kill truth, everything else begins to fall apart. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10 says this. It's talking about people who are perishing. And it says, they do so because they do not receive the love of the truth that could save them. Truth has the power to save you. Because when you acknowledge who Jesus is, He's the truth. When you acknowledge that, things are made right between you and God. So what I'd like to do is just everybody to stand and let's everybody bow our heads. If you would go ahead and do that now, just bow your head. And if you're here, while your heads are bowed, if you're here and you don't have that relationship with Jesus, or maybe you've had it and you just feel distance and you'd like to close the gap this morning, I'm going to pray a simple prayer and have everybody else repeat it as well. We want to repeat it as a show of support for you. So you're just going to repeat after me. Now, if it's not in your heart, you don't want to make this step. That's your decision. It's free will. It's whoever chooses. So it's your call. But if you heard me today and your heart was resonating with the things I said, that's the Spirit of God working in you. I don't remember exactly where the verse is, but I don't remember the exact verbiage, but basically it says that those that know the Lord, those that understand Him, when they hear truth, they recognize truth. If you're recognizing truth, that means the Spirit of God is already working in you and on you. So just why don't you go ahead and surrender your life? You can trust God. You can trust Jesus. He's not going to trick you. He wants to bless you. He wants to help you. Well, I got some problems I need to take care of first. No. Come with your problems. Come the way you are. Come with your brokenness. Come with your broken heart. Come with your sin. Come with your guilt, your fear. Come with it all. As you are, come and let Him receive you in that condition. And then let Him forgive you. And then let Him help you with that stuff that you came with. Some of that stuff will already be taken care of, like the guilt and the sin. Some of them other problems, He doesn't want you to go get it all together before you come to Him. If that's the case, you'll never come. How long has it been since you had it all together? Come as you are. If it's in your heart to come to Jesus today, I want you to say these words with the rest of us. If you're watching from home, just say these words with us. Would you do it? Father God, in Jesus' name, I come to You just as I am, broken, hurting, lost and undone, filled with anxiety, confusion, and the list goes on. Father, I bring it all, and I ask You to receive me as I am. Forgive my sin. And then make me who You're calling me to be. I pray it in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening today. For additional information or to call in a prayer need, you can reach Angleton First at 979-849-6112 or check us out on the web at angletonfirst.org. God's blessings upon you, and may His peace be yours today.